Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Of Love's Lemonade, a lemonade stand down in Atlanta. Love, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You have such a cute voice. I'm very excited to have you on the radio show. You've probably never been on a radio show before, have you?
No.
Okay, well, this is a new one, and we're very excited to have you on here. I understand that you just graduated from kindergarten. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm going straight to first grade.
And you say you're going straight to first grade?
Yes.
Wonderful. Do you start first grade like in August or September, or do they start sooner?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. And I'm really excited to talk to you about this. When I was down, I have to tell everybody, when I was in Atlanta about 2 weeks ago, I was with a friend of mine named Tina, and she wanted to, and she really gets the credit for this because she's the one who had the idea to go walking on the Beltline. And the Beltline is kind of an old railroad track, as I understand it, that's been covered with asphalt, and so now it's a great place that's a walking path, basically. And as we're coming down this walking path, here is this adorable young lady in a yellow graduation cap. And she was standing there, and on the side were her parents, and there was a couple of tables there. And I immediately thought, this must be a lemonade stand. And I was so excited about that. Tell everybody, love, tell everybody where you got your yellow graduation cap. Where did you get that?
My mommy bought it.
Your mom bought it?
Yes.
You looked so adorable in that graduation cap that I just had to stop and see what this was all about. Let me ask you another question about kindergarten. What did you like learning the most about in kindergarten?
By writing. I do it math.
Say that again.
Why are you doing math?
Oh, you like math?
Yes.
Math is a very good thing to know if you're a business person. And you're a business person. I think your dad told me when I was there that you wanted to start your lemonade stand when you were 4, but he wanted you to wait until you were 5. Is that right?
Yes.
And you turned 5 years old and then you started your lemonade stand, right?
Right.
When I came there, I saw that you had fresh lemons that your mom was going to kind of squeeze together to make the lemonade. and you had some adorable glasses on that had heart shapes over both of your eyes. Was that your parents' idea to get those glasses, or was that your idea to get those glasses? Because you look really good in those glasses.
Yes.
I love those glasses. I think they are fabulous. And so I asked you if you had blackberry lemonade, and you said yes, right?
Right.
Yes, and I wanted blackberry lemonade, and I didn't know if you had blackberry lemonade, but you did. That's one of the flavors that you offer, correct? That's correct. That's correct, because say that again.
I like blackberry lemonade and apple lemonade. I like it in a bit.
What are my favorite lemonade is blackberry lemonade. What is your favorite flavor of lemonade?
Blackberry and apple, and I like it in this.
You like apple lemonade? Okay. This is just so. Okay. No problem. Great. Can you hear me okay, love?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you were telling me what your favorite flavor of lemonade is.
Okay. My favorite flavor is blackberry and apple, and I like it in a bit.
Beautiful. Do you also, can you tell us the different flavors of lemonade that you have at your lemonade stand?
Yes. I got blackberry, apple, peach, blueberry, blackberry, and lemon. And strawberry.
Now you also sell cookies there, right?
Why?
You also sell cookies there.
Right.
And you have a strawberry lemonade cookie.
Right.
And it's very good. And I bought one and ate it, and I loved it. I thought it was really terrific. Is that one of your favorite flavors of cookie?
Yes.
Good.
I did it by myself.
You did?
Yes.
That's impressive. So I have a question. What do you like most about having your own lemonade business?
Like, get money and, like, say, ask for lemonade, all that stuff.
And do you have lots of fun doing it?
Yes.
And I guess this is your first year of doing it, and I think what you're doing is really wonderful. Do your friends at school know that you have your own business?
Yes, because they see pictures of me at the YCA.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I love your picture that I saw on Instagram, and I want to tell everybody, she has, if you want to have some fun, follow this wonderful young lady on Instagram @loves_lemonade_stand. And I told people about your business on my Facebook page, and it went out to about 1,800 people. And I've posted it a couple of times, and I told people to go follow your page on Facebook and follow your Instagram account, because I just think you have a wonderful story. Do you have any advice that you want to give to other 5-year-old kids who want to start their own business?
Yes. You have to be like, you have to work hard, and it can't be mean to your customers, you have to be nice to your customers, they'll put your back to them. Just be nice to them.
Do you remember, you probably don't because you had so many customers there, but after I bought the lemonade and the cookie, you said something to me right at the end after I was one of your new customers. I don't know if you remember for sure what you said, but you said, thank you for your support. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes. That is the best thing you could say to a customer after they have come and purchased your lemonade. I have one other question I want to ask you, and then I want to ask your parents a couple of questions, if I could, just to get some of their input here. What are some of the things that your parents have done that have helped you in this business?
Get the ice and get the flavor.
Get the ice and get the flavors?
And I do everything else.
And you do everything else. Good for you. Good for you. Well, I plan to come down and see you again and buy some more blackberry lemonades and some more cookies because I had so much fun there when I was there. And I just want to compliment you on the great young lady that you are and your determination to have a business and to pay such good attention to your customers. Before I talk to your parents, you're welcome. Before I talk to your parents for just a minute, is there anything else you want to tell people about your lemonade stand?
You will get a business card.
Good. And they will have lots of fun coming to meet you. I think everybody in Atlanta should go to the Beltline and buy a glass of lemonade from you because I think you guys do a great job. You have been really fun to talk to, and I'm a big fan of yours. And I just want to wish you the very best. And I'm gonna keep an eye on you and follow you and follow your success. And I hope you have a really wonderful, successful business. Does that sound good?
Thank you for your support.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And save me some blackberry lemonade, will you?
Sure.
Okay.
I will.
All right. We love what you're doing. Can I talk to your parents for just a second?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, love. Thank you for being on the show.
All right. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm a love dad, Terrence.
Terrence, it's great to talk to you. I talked with you when I met her at the lemonade stand, and I really appreciate you arranging to have her on the show. I'm a big fan of hers, and I think it's great to have you here. Tell us what this adventure has been like for you guys as the parents here.
It's been amazing. It's been amazing having a child show us the undying urge for entrepreneurship. She kind of forced this on us, but it's been great. I'd rather this than anything. And for the most part, she does most of everything. We just provide the materials and the inspiration. And she, other than that, she's very hands-on.
Now, tell me about when you say she forced it on you. I think I knew what you mean. Tell us more about that, because that says a lot about her determination.
Well, essentially, she wanted a lemonade stand at 4 years old, but we felt, you know, by five we can give it a shot. So she basically hounded us for a year straight until she turned five. When she turned five, we started, and now, we had to wait for the seasons to change for it to warm up. And now she's fully operational. She's on a Beltline like 3 days out of the week and still in summer camp. And accomplishing amazing things every day.
That's a wonderful story. And this is the kind of thing that could be put into a book and maybe even a movie, because it's such an unusual story. And she has such determination, and she has such great parents there supporting her and helping her do it. I guess if people out there want to come see her and support her lemonade stand, I guess they come to the Beltline, right? Is that the place to find her?
Well, essentially that, and just staying, just following her on Instagram. She does festivals. She has a Sweet Fest coming up. She just did Dessert Fest. And we post her information on the venues and events she has. But other than that, during the weekend on the Beltline between like 3 p.m. and about 7 p.m., she's out doing her thing on the pot side of the Beltline.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, I tip my hat to you. I think this is just great. The lemonade was fabulous. It tasted fabulous. It was freshly squozen. There was ice in the glass. You guys were really friendly. You have a beautiful daughter. And all I can say is more power to you. And I'm going to do what I can do from my radio show to keep talking about you and point people in your direction. And I just love what you're doing as parents, because that's a wonderful example of how to support your child with something that they want to do. Is there anything else you want to tell the audience about either your wonderful daughter or about the business that you'd like to say that we haven't talked about already?
Oh, we're just, I definitely encourage other parents to get behind their children's entrepreneurial endeavors at a young age. Just showing her how to reinvest her money and use it to, you know, further her business from the ground up. And she seems to be really enjoying the journey and process. And I'm excited to see what it turns into long term and short term and overall just for her development as a productive member of America and society.
Keep going. That's really well said. You said well.
You know, any opportunity we can get to keep these kids off these phones and tablets and outside and communicating and interacting with one another and adults as well is going to always be an advantage. And I'm just so blessed that this is how we're doing it with ours.
Can I ask you the name of the lady that was there with you that made the lemonade for me?
Oh, that's my wife, Leah. Her background is she has a hospitality company that specializes in bartending. So it's also an opportunity for Love to kind of step in her mother's footsteps a little bit by launching her own beverage-based company. It's almost the kid identical version of a bartending situation.
Yes,
it works out perfectly.
Is Leah there with you now? Can she hear us?
Actually, she's out of town on business right now. Couldn't be with us today.
Would you tell her how much I appreciated her hard work of making my lemonade when I was there? She did a great job. And compliment her for us as well with all the great work she's doing with you and with Love to make this such a great story. Will you just pass along those words of praise
to her
for me?
Most definitely.
Okay, I would love to have you guys on the show again in the future and just get an update on what you're doing. And I'm going to keep telling people to follow you on Instagram and just enjoy the journey. And again, I salute you for what you're doing, and God bless you guys and everything you're involved in.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. And Love, thank you so much. It was a delight to have you on the show. We'll get you on the show again in a little while, and we'll talk to you some more. You guys keep up the great work.
Thank you for your support.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks, Terrence, Leah, and Love Moore down in Atlanta. Love is a 5-year-old kindergarten girl, just graduated from kindergarten and has her own lemonade stand on the Beltline. Follow her on Instagram at loves_lemonadestand. and you can thank me later. This is a really fun journey. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk to you some more about the Junk Refund Show and the world of junk removal. Thanks.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, and I have just spent 20 adorable minutes talking with Love Moore, a 5-year-old girl in Atlanta who has her own lemonade stand, and her wonderful parents, Terrence and Leah, who are supporting her in this and keeping her busy out there selling lemonade around Atlanta. I just think it's a fascinating story and a terrific example of somebody who's got a dream and is going after it. I want to mention a couple of things, just some basic stuff about the show. One of them is if you want to get a great deal in the Washington, D.C. area for junk removal and you would like a pickup truck of junk removal done, that normally runs $229. If you call into the radio show and just leave your name and number with Don, he will get it to me afterwards, Don, our producer. He will get it to me afterwards, and we will send you a link that allows you to buy some vouchers, 2 vouchers if you want to, for $79. Gives you the same quarter truckload or the same pickup truckload of junk removal. That is the best price that we offer for that amount of stuff to be removed. And you just call into the show, 888-627-6008. And they will take your name and number. You won't be on the show. We'll just get your name and number, and then they will send it to me. And then off you go into Never Never Land with a pickup truck of junk removal done at a, 70% savings maybe, something like that. Got to be in the Washington, D.C. area, though. We can't come to, Tampa and do that for you. Let me just tell you a little bit about what we do, some basic stuff. The company is called 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. You can read all about us at 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com. We are a hauling and junk removal business headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland. We've been here about 15 to 20 years, something like that. And we do what the other junk removal companies do, but for most of the time at a lesser price, but they don't do what we do. We haul away the junk and we get rid of the junk. We recycle stuff like metal and wire. We donate stuff to places like Goodwill or Salvation Army, and we get you donation receipts. But the thing we do that sets us apart is we put the good stuff up for sale. It really shouldn't go to a landfill. And if it sells, you get money back. So recently we had, in this last couple of months, just off the top of my head, we had a gentleman who had us haul away a portable tennis ball machine that you would use on a tennis court to work on your strokes. Those things sell new for somewhere around $600 to $700. His was in great shape. We sold it for $350. He got 35% back, which made him about $122. And the total cost that he paid us to do his job was $400. So he pays us $400, we sell a tennis ball machine. He gets $122 back. That's a fourth of his cost that he's recouped already, and we did all the work selling the tennis ball machine. He also had a piano. We hauled a nice black upright piano out for him. We sold that for $300. Those are heavy, right? But it's very nice piano in very good shape. We sold it for $300. He gets 35% of that. That's about another $100 or so coming back to him that he will make. So he's now made back more than half of the money that he spent on junk removal. He's getting back as a refund. And nobody else does that. They either don't want to mess around with it, or they don't want to take the time to do it, or the drivers go home and go, hey, honey, we just got a new piano, right, or whatever. And the customer has no idea what's happened to the stuff, generally speaking. We try to go that extra mile, so to speak, and find value where value is. And so we're always looking for stuff to sell because we get the other part of the money. And so it adds to the amount of money that we made off of the job. And the bottom line is everybody wins. So one of my favorite stories happened a number of years ago with a former news anchor in Washington, D.C., who lived in probably a $5 million home, and she was downsizing to a $3 million home. And the realtor had recommended us as somebody who might be able to help her make a few bucks on some furniture and other items that she had left in her house. She had a couple of couches. She had some stand-up lamps. And we went there, and it was at that time about a $375 job. And towards the end, she said, hey, take the speakers from our home theater system as well. She said, my husband wants to just give those to the buyer of the house, but she said, I think you might be able to do something with him. You might as well give it a shot. So we said, okay. So we load a couple of speakers into the truck, and as we're doing that, one of our guys looks at me and says, these are top of the line speakers. Now, I had no idea, and I don't even remember the brand name. They're made in Europe. Floor speakers. And he got excited about them. We put them up for sale on eBay. They sold for $7,000, the speakers. The eBay folks took their cut out, then sent us a check for about, I don't know, $6,000 or something dollars. And I went back to the lady's house about a month later, and I gave her, and she asked me, she said, how did we do? You know, did the speakers sell? And I said, you know what? You did pretty well. I said, here's $3,200. And I literally gave her $3,200 in cash. Now, this is a person who has been in front of cameras, knows how to say something at the right moment, anytime, handles pressure really well. And she looked, and she will know what to say on any given moment. She looked at me and she said, I'm stunned. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. She said, this is front page business section, the Washington Post, tomorrow. That's where this belongs. And I don't think the story has ever really been told in the Post. I guess that's my fault. But it's one of the great junk removal stories that we have out there that we enjoy. The other day, we cleaned out a home for some people and found a small box of various, and this happens kind of regularly, we found a small box of jewelry items, just old jewelry that had been sitting around. We took that down to a local jeweler and sold it for $720. Some of that jewelry was gold. They will get back 35% of that, which is going to be, what, $300 or something like that? $250, $300, something like that? Aren't you glad that that didn't go into a landfill or get put in the pockets of the drivers and had, you know, went home with them? And so people appreciate that effort to try to get value for them and make them some money. And that's one of the things that we try to do in our business. We went to a garage sale that a friend of mine, a realtor, had one time again a few years back. And he wanted us to take care of and try to sell some unique things that he had in his home. a collectible rifle that was hanging up over from the 1800s was hanging up over his fireplace. He had a historic World War II flag that he wanted to try to sell. And when he took me in his home, one of the first things he said was he was getting ready to do a garage sale that Saturday in Bethesda, Maryland, and he had a bunch of stuff ready to go in the garage. And I asked him in the kitchen, I said, what's through that door? He said, oh, that just leads into the garage, but we're going to do that with a garage sale on Saturday. We don't really need your help with that. And I said, well, do you mind if I just take a look just for fun? He goes, no, sure, that's fine. So I open up the door, and there's a card table sitting in the garage, and on the card table are a whole bunch of magazines all stacked up, kind of large magazines. And I said to him, what's that? Now, this gentleman at the time was maybe 75, and he said, oh, those are Life magazines. My mother used to collect them. And I did some quick math and went, those are old magazines. They got to be. Well, he had, I think, 320 Life magazines from 1935 until 1945. Now, think about this for a moment. What is a resident of Bethesda, Maryland, going to pay on a Saturday morning for 300 old Life magazines? What would you pay? Would you buy them? What would you do with them? 300 magazines, what would you do with them? Would you pay $50? I mean, I don't know. What, you know, what would you pay? And I kind of thought that if anybody buys these, they're not going to pay much. Maybe $50. I don't know. It's hard to say. But what would somebody pay for these? I asked my friend if it was okay if we played with this a little bit and tried to do something with the magazines. He said, yeah, go ahead and take a crack at it. We put them in my wife's van at that point and hauled them home. And I started flipping through these magazines. On the cover of one of these was young Ted Williams with the Boston Red Sox. Our friend from It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, was on a number of these. A lot of World War II stuff was in these. Very, very graphic, uncensored photos were in these Life magazines from what was going on in World War II. And I was just kind of amazed at what I was looking at and the history that was behind it. So we put those magazines up for sale on eBay. And within about 48 hours, they sold for $1,500. And the gentleman that bought them was in Pennsylvania, and he sent me a message, and he said, can I pay you extra to deliver them? I said, yeah, I'll, you know, for $200, I'll run them up to you. He was about 4 hours away. So he paid me $200 to drive him up to him. So I did. Ironically, the car that I drove up in is a 1976 Chevy Nova, a yellow Chevy Nova, that was also thrown away at a hauling job. I graduated from high school in 1976. I thought, hey, this baby was made the year that I, you know, was a senior. So it was kind of memorable. So I drove the magazines up to him literally in a car that came from a hauling job. And when he had me meet him at a storage unit where he was going to put all these magazines. And I just asked him out of curiosity, I said, tell me why you bought these things. What is it about these that caught your eye? And he said, my father was wounded in World War II and later died as a result of the injuries that he sustained in the war. And he said, I've always wanted to write a book on the lasting effects of World War II in a family. And when I saw your collection of magazines for sale, I said to myself, there's all my research, you know, information right there in one shot. He said, I couldn't really afford it, to be honest with you. I couldn't afford $1,500, but that was our buy it now price on eBay. And he said, I had to have it because there was a bunch of my research information all in one place. It's going to save me a lot of time. And there you go. There's the story. So I go back to my friend who's the realtor, and explained to him that we just sold his magazines for $1,500. When I started doing this whole refund thing, I gave people 50%. So I gave him $750. Now, think about the option of selling these at a garage sale. Can you imagine anybody coming in wealthy, smart Bethesda, Maryland? Can you imagine anybody coming by and said, hey, I'll give you $750 for those magazines? I don't think so. I think it's a $50 item or less. I don't know. But here we go. They get taken up to Pennsylvania. It's the power of the internet. eBay finds the buyer for us, and everybody wins. And my buddy gets $750 for a bunch of magazines that were sitting on top of a card table without having to do anything. Someone else comes in. You get your garage cleaned out by other people, and you get paid for it, and you do none of the work. That's the power of what we do and what we like to do. So there's another story for you. And we even delivered them in a car that we got from a garage sale that somebody said, hey, can you take the car to? I mean, from a junk removal job, not a garage sale, but from a junk removal job. And we said, sure, we'll take the car to. So there's an example of some stuff we'll do. I'll come back with some more practical ideas for you to declutter your life and declutter your home and garage and et cetera in a few minutes. But you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, on bbsradio.com. Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, having a great time doing junk removal. And I want to talk to you about something we did this morning. We went out towards Annapolis, Maryland, hauled away 3/4 of a 12-foot box truck for a gentleman. And as you can imagine, over the years, I have gone into thousands of homes, apartments, condos, big homes, little homes, whatever, crawl spaces, attics, basements, bathrooms, whatever. I'm always going into somebody's home, cleaning out stuff for them because they have to move, or somebody died, or somebody got divorced, or they just want to declutter, or whatever the case may be. But I have to tell you, today, every once in a while, you go to somebody's home, and you just come away and you go, wow, that place is spectacular. And that's what happened today out in Arnold, Maryland, where we went out and cleaned out a home, or cleaned out part of a home. It's just part of a basement, really. It was about 3 pickup trucks of stuff. We took a 12-foot box truck out there, and myself and one of our guys named Warren came with me. And this guy has a beautiful home, and it is situated on the water of one of the many, I'll call it inlets or bays around Annapolis, Maryland area. You look out through his windows, his big windows there in his family room next to his kitchen, and he literally is looking at the water. And it is such a comforting, scenic view that I did something that I rarely do when I go into people's homes. I asked him if I could take a photo. He said, sure. I took a photo of the outside because as we would go down in the basement and haul some stuff out of the basement and bring it up the stairs, we would have to come out the front door and then down
a meticulously graveled walkway with metal, a little metal edge on both sides of the walkway. I just couldn't believe how well maintained this home was, both inside and out. It is the kind of way that we all should live, ideally. There was nothing overlooked. On the outside of the property, the front yard, for example, he had something I hadn't really seen before. He had a lot of kind of medium-sized, maybe softball-sized rocks that were contained inside of long metal wire containers or holders, I guess is a good way to say it. There's a better word. Where they were basically a foot high, foot and a half wide, and 10 feet long, and they were contained architectural rocks. Does that make sense? I'd never really seen it before. The walkway to get to the front door, gravel walkway, maybe a 2-inch standing on its edge metal. Lining or something along the sides of the walkway. So the walkway was well defined, right? It has boundaries and stuff. Gorgeous plants. He had a couple of daisy, large pockets of daisies out in the front of his house next to the walkway. The home, as you walk towards the home, there's a little porch on the front of the house with furniture there, so you can sit there on the front of the house and just kind of look at the front yard if you want to. On the right-hand side, as you walk towards the front door, there is a small fountain that has a little stream of water popping up about 2 inches high, and then it falls down onto a 2-foot in diameter circular platform, let's say, and then the water runs off equally the edge of that platform and creates a small trickling or waterfall sound. So as you walk towards the front door in this beautifully manicured front area with plants and walkways and stone rocks that are contained and supported, you also have a little fountain type of sound going on there. You can go sit on the porch on the very nice furniture, they're sitting on the porch and look at the front yard. Up above the porch, outside of a large window upstairs, there's a little landing area, a shelf area, we'll call it, 4 large rectangular upright planters are up there with plants inside of there. There is as you pull up to his front walkway, on the left side, he has a couple of wooden garden areas set off, and he's growing lettuce and, I don't know, carrots and something else. But he's got a small vegetable garden going in his front yard as well, up in the corner. And then you go inside the house. It is meticulously clean. There's no clutter. It's really done so well. And as you walk into the front part of the house, the steps, the gradual long wide steps, take you down towards the kitchen, and there you have this panoramic view of the water behind him with the docks and the sailboats and other stuff out back. And he's got a deck coming off the back of the home where you, I mean, go out there and have coffee and, you know, Cheerios in the morning. He had a box of Cheerios on his counter, which is why I say Cheerios. But what a great place to have breakfast in this serene, beautiful setting. And I told him, I hope you use that table out on the back patio for breakfast, because that is a fabulous place to have breakfast. And he says, oh, I do. So then we go down in the basement. There's a decent amount of stuff in the basement, but it's also well organized and set aside. And we're down there to take care of hauling away some stuff that he has set aside in that basement in a special area. And it was very well organized. We knew exactly what we were supposed to take and not take, and we were thrilled to do it. So every once in a while, of the hundreds and hundreds of homes that you go into, you walk into one and you go, wow, this is heaven. What a serene place to live. And no clutter. You can see the top of every countertop. You can see the top of every table. There is plenty of room to move around. It's very serene. And he, you know, hats off to him and his family for having this awesome place that just brings you peace when you're there. I mean, I was just stunned by the beauty of it and how nice it was and how clean it was. And I was happy to help out by hauling some stuff out of there that we hauled out. So it's a little bit rare that you come into a situation like that and everything is good and everything's clean and everything is orderly. That is not usually the norm. You can contrast that with other homes where I've walked into apartments, for example, that were so cluttered with so many boxes of stuff, mostly food, that you literally had a little maze that you walked through to get through the front room. Some people love to just gather stuff, and they love to go to the store, and they love to buy stuff in bulk on sale. That is the win for them. Whether they use it or not is kind of irrelevant. It's the buying. It's the action of buying it that gets them excited. And we've had clients who loved to just go pick up the newspaper, you know, periodicals that are in the front of grocery stores and then go through the store, find the best deals they could, spend the money to buy the stuff, and then come away feeling like, I think they feel like they just made money. But what they did was they just lost money in favor of some goods that they may not use. So we've been in people's homes, and I've seen cases of Snickers bars that were 4 years old expired, and people told me, oh, it's no big deal. They still taste good, right? They're not going to eat them all in a million years. They just don't have the capacity to eat them all. And sadly, a few months after we were there to help declutter this apartment, it caught on fire because you got all these cardboard boxes around. The gentleman was a smoker and didn't pick up after himself very well. Now, I don't know how the fire started, but it was his fault, and his apartment's fault. 30 families had to relocate and were out of that apartment building until they got that all cleaned up. So we kind of see it all as we go around and go into people's homes and do what we do. From, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other, it's quite a remarkable thing that we see, and you see lots of different situations. So a couple of practical things that might help anybody who, you know, want to kind of declutter their home and their lives, etc. First thing is just recognize that you didn't clutter it all up in one day. It probably took many years, and that means you brought stuff in a little at a time. So it's not a bad idea to take stuff out a little at a time, even if it's just a trash bag of stuff or a small garbage bag of stuff. Start to get in the habit of taking out one of those a day, one of those a week, whatever you want to do, and just start to let go of things and declutter your life. It's the letting go that's hard for people, and sometimes they get emotionally attached to stuff because it was, you know, my grandmother's cookware or whatever it might be. But in that regard, look at it from your grandmother's standpoint up there in heaven, right? She's not using the cookware anymore. She could care less about it, I think. And hopefully you don't have to look at the cookware to remember your grandmother. She's not a set of cookware. She's a person. Right? So I would think she'd want to be remembered not for the stuff that she had, but for the joy that she brought into people's lives and for the kind of person that she is. That to me makes a lot of sense. But we on this side of the equation hang on to stuff either because it reminds us of these folks or we feel like it's sacred and there's nothing we can do with it because it belonged to somebody that I cared about. Just remember to separate the item from the person. You can throw away or donate your grandmother's old china, for example. I'm just picking china just for fun, without offending your grandmother. Just because she bought it and had it doesn't mean you have to keep it. She didn't necessarily buy it for you. She bought it for her, and she's not using it anymore. So you have the right to kind of declutter it and move on. And if the china means that much to you, take a couple of photos of it. So you can always look at the photos to remember the china. But don't make the mistake, and this is common, of feeling like the china is your ancestor, because it's not. So you have to just make that little determination and remember that just because it was their stuff doesn't mean you have to hold on to it as well. A quick shout out for a special that we're doing for 2024. When you clean out a house, we've done these all over the country, when you go and clean out a typical, say, two-level home, it with a 12-foot box truck, the size truck you'd rent at Home Depot, it usually takes 2 to 3 of those for each level, which means it's about 5 or 6 for a typical, you know, two-level home. Could be more, could be less, depending on how much stuff is in there. But on average, it's about 5 to clean out a house. A truckload of stuff that's a 12-foot box truck runs $695. Five of those is about $3,500. I was trying to think of something special I could do for 2024 to help people with house cleanouts. So I decided to make 24 house cleanouts available by means of a voucher that you buy in advance that gives you up to 5 truckloads of stuff for $2,024. Not $3,500. And we've sold probably close to 20 of them, 18 or 19, I think, so far is the count. And it's been all over the country. You'll find it on our website if you look for the 2024 page. It's a great deal, and it saves a lot of money, and we're happy to do it. I also have to give a shout-out to my friends at Frontier Airlines because I fly out of Washington, D.C. with them. And I bought their Go Wild Pass a year ago when my brother Ron told me about this. He said, hey, there's a pass you can buy for $599. It's normally about $2,000. It's the introductory offer time. You buy it for about $600 and you get to fly free for a year. And I went, yep, that works for me because I'm going back and forth to Utah all the time. Well, I bought that pass a year ago. And they allowed us to start using it in April. It wasn't supposed to launch until May 3rd. I had saved $2,400 in airfare before the May 3rd date even kicked off. So it had paid for itself 3 or 4 times easily before I even started the 12-month period where I got to use it from there. It's available still. It's $599 for a year. They also make summer and winter and spring, you know, versions of this available for like $299. But for $599, I then go in and I book confirmed seats in advance. This is not a standby thing. It's if there are blackout dates, I don't know when they are because I've never run into a problem with that. But I go in and I purchase a confirmed seat in advance for deeply discounted prices. For example, earlier we talked with Love Moore of Love's Lemonade down in Atlanta. I can fly from the Washington, D.C. area nonstop to Atlanta for $15. That's it, $15. Confirmed seat, no standby, don't get bumped, whatever. I can fly from here to Salt Lake City, where I have a lot of family out in Utah, for $25 one way. They did a study recently, I heard it on the radio yesterday, that the most expensive airport in the country based on average round-trip ticket is Dulles, Virginia, here in the Washington, D.C. area. Second is San Francisco, and third is Salt Lake City. But I can fly back and forth from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City, round trip, for about $50. It's about $25 each way. So take a look at the Go Wild Pass of Frontier Airlines. And by the way, it's also good internationally. They do a lot of stops in Mexico, Latin America, the Caribbean. You get to use it there as well. It's $600 of the best dollars that you'll ever spend, in my opinion. It's just a great deal, and I think it's something you ought to check out. And I'm happy to promote them and talk to you about it because I think it's a great deal and it can save an awful lot of money. And it's a wonderful feeling knowing that you hopped on a plane and you looked at the fare in advance. The regular fare, let's say, round trip to Utah is, you know, $580 or something. The discount den fare, which is the discount you get if you're on their email list, might be $490. But the Go Wild Pass fare for the same flight is $25. I jump all over that all day long. So that's a great way to get the junk out of your travel life, is save a boatload of money, and you still get from point A to point B on an A320 or A321 newly built aircraft that works great. So anyway, there's a little plug for my friends at Frontier Airlines at the end. Special thanks to Love More, the 5-year-old lemonade entrepreneur in Atlanta, Georgia. Her parents, Terrence and Leah, who support her and have helped her establish her own business at the age of 5. I'm hoping this kid is independently wealthy by the time she's in like 4th grade, something like that. And it sounds like she's well on her way to doing it. And hats off to her wonderful dad, who was on the show today as well, Terrence, for guiding his daughter in a great direction. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back next Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern on the Junk Refund Show, where we're just simply trying to help you get the junk out of your homes, your garages, and also out of your lives. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom, our producers, and the BBSRadio.com network for all the great work that they do and for their support. And we'll be back next week, Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern, with another edition of the Junk Refund Show. Check out this edition and other shows that we've done on our podcast, The Junk Refund Show, or on bbsradio.com. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to The Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.